Johnston has been a Democratic stronghold in Rhode Island for years. But in 2016, Johnston voters gave Republican Donald Trump a decisive 14-point victory over Democratic rival Hillary Clinton. That was the sharpest swing in partisan support since 2012 for any Rhode Island community. Rhode Island Public Radio reported on President Trump's big win in Johnston as part of our recent series, One Square Mile, Johnston. And tonight at Johnston Municipal Court, we're going to discuss some of the same questions, like why did a Democratic-leaning town like Johnston prefer Trump over Clinton, and what does it mean for Rhode Island? Welcome to When a Blue Town Turns Red, Johnston and the Trump Presidency. I'm Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter Ian Donis, and I'd like to introduce our panel. Sitting next to me is Richard Delfino Jr., the chairman of the Democratic Town Committee of Johnston. And next to him is his Republican counterpart, Robert Matteo, the chairman of the Johnston Republican Town Committee. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'd like to welcome our audience. So, thank you, and we appreciate your being here. Let's just start off with the most basic question. Richard Delfino, why did a Democratic town like Johnston decisively vote for Republican Donald Trump for president?
Well, I think, quite honestly, I think that the message that Donald Trump delivered effectively was consistent with many of the attitudes and opinions and beliefs of working class Johnstonians.
Such as, what was the message that was received by Johnston residents?
I think that at that time, candidate Trump talked about issues such as, you know, infrastructure, issues within the country, which was important. He talked about veterans issues. He talked about, immigration issues and the importance of legal immigration, you know, taking place here. I think he talked about issues which were consistent with many of the people in Johnston in terms of their faith-based beliefs, being pro-life. I think many people in town are pro-life. It's not unusual for, many Johnstonians who are Catholic, many of whom are Italian, would visit church on Sunday and hear a different message than what was given by the National Democratic Party. And I think that that was a strong message. I think that, concentrating on issues that were important to labor, creating jobs for people in this state, those were the issues I think that Trump was effectively communicating to working families in town.
All right. Let's put the question to Robert Matteo. Republicans have had a lot of challenges getting elected to local offices here in Johnston. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But what's your perspective on why President Trump did so well here last November?
I think it was a perfect storm of events, I think, to happen. I think there were many things that happened this cycle. Number one, I do agree with Richard that voters identified with Trump's message of I'm going to bring jobs back to the working class. We saw that throughout the country, specifically in the north, places like Michigan, the Rust Belt. That message identified with voters. I think Hillary lost some of her base in regards to Bernie. I think there was a rift in the party. Bernie Sanders, yeah. I believe that Trump took advantage of that, and I think that hurt Hillary going forward. She wasn't able to gain ground with some of the younger voters that attached themselves to Bernie's message of the banking system is corrupt. We're going to reform that. And I think those younger voters, I don't think they voted for Trump. I think they stayed away from the polls. I think that helped Trump out as well.
Sure. And as we knew, President Trump had the motto of Make America Great Again. That kind of expresses a sense of nostalgia. Is there something that Johnston voters were nostalgic about Robert Mattio?
I think the Make America Great Again is kind of a vague slogan. I think what he did was take a page out of the Obama playbook, hope and change. Make America Great Again can mean different things. It can mean what you want it to mean, just like hope and change. But I think that message of we're going after trade deals, I'm going after trade deals, I'm going to bring manufacturing back, people felt, you know, especially the lower class groups, the working class, felt this guy is going to make things better for me. And that I saw that in the Republican primary, where the Republican establishment, every time they went after him, the groundswell of support from mainstream, from not machine-connected Republicans, just kept growing and growing and growing and growing, that he somehow represented the average man, and it just seemed to carry him through the election.
How about that same question, Richard Delfino? The nostalgic call of Make America Great Again, did that appeal to Johnston residents who are yearning for something that has been lost or reduced? And if so, what was that?
Well, I think the answer is yes. I know I can speak for, you know, I have an 89-year-old father who's a veteran of World War II and Korea. When that message of Make America Great Again, bringing jobs back to this country, you know, having people earn a decent wage. I think those kinds of things, so helping our veterans out, you know, those kinds of things resonated with working class Johnstonians who were, you know, who again, very faith-based and whatnot. I think that all of what he was saying in that message, again, resonated with working families. And so when you say nostalgic, I mean, I think they wanted to hear about the return of manufacturing jobs, those kinds of things. I think that hit home. And clearly, the results were there for him.
All right, let's bring things into the present. President Trump is delivering an address to a joint session of Congress tonight. He says his administration is doing great, but his first 40 days in office have been rather bumpy. There have been a number of controversies. How do you think President Trump is doing so far, Richard Delfino?
Well, I think it's really early to be critical. In fact, I think that a lot of what he's referring to in terms of the media coming out in this this whole notion of false reports and whatnot, you know, it's very difficult to get a sense of what's legitimate news reporting and what isn't. You know, I think it's just a matter
of... All you have to do is listen to Rhode Island Public Radio.
There you go. That's a good plug there. But I think that if you get the numbers that, say, Fox and MSNBC are getting, then you'll be able to deliver that message. But right now, you know, it's funny. You know, if you're in a coffee shop and you're talking to people who tune into Fox, and they'll tell you the basis of their opinion is what they hear at Fox News, and then those who listen to MSNBC, I mean, just to give you that kind of comparison, that's where they're drawing their line in terms of information and what they believe, and they believe strongly. So, you know, I don't know what, you know, I listened to Meet the Press on Sunday, and I was, you know, somewhat amazed at how the line is drawn in the sand. And if you listen to the Republicans and Democrats have done no good, if you listen to the Democrats or Republicans have done no good. Now, we know that's not accurate, but I think that that battle line has been drawn, and so you're left with a sense of what is the truth, and you're trying to decipher what is true, what's not true, you know? But I think it's too early. I certainly, you know, listen, it's to our benefit if President Trump were to be successful. It's whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't really matter. You know, you want him to be successful. And I think that the jury's still out in terms of, I mean, how can you truly assess his, you know, his moves, his commitment, and how successful he's going to be on just this short period of time. I don't think that is necessarily fair. I think that, you know, given time, you'll have that opportunity. But working together is really what I think we should be doing. And let's see if we can bring jobs here, if we can all get on the same page. So, I mean, that would be my hope.
Fair enough. You're right. It is very early in. Robert Matteo, you're the Republican town chairman here in Johnson. As Richard, your Democratic counterpart, says, it is very early. We certainly don't have a whole tenure to judge Donald Trump by, but just based on his early moves, his first 40 days in an office, from your perspective as the Republican town chairman, how do you think he's doing?
From my perspective, it's mixed. I will say that he's doing, fulfilling some of the promises that he made. I think one of the things we left off the table, or we didn't speak about earlier, was some of the executive orders repealing Obamacare, which I think speaks to, again, the same group of people. I think that here as well, especially in Johnston. So he's come out aggressively against that, which will help. As far as the base is concerned, he's still talking about bringing jobs back. He's going after the trade deals. He spoke out against NAFTA. Clinton's name, Hillary's name is tied to that. I forgot the name, the Pacific trade deal. He squashed that as well. So he's, as far as the base is concerned, I think he's doing the right thing. All those signs lead to an improvement for the working class. I'm concerned about some of the other issues, repealing the private prison. You know, Obama had the order to stay away from private prisons. Personally, I think going that route is a mistake. By the administration. I wish they wouldn't do that. They're escalating the war on drugs. I don't think that's going to help the party, in the long run. I don't think it's going to help Republicans in the long run. Cracking down on legalization of marijuana. As far as the country's concerned, it's probably okay with the Johnston constituency, but I think overall, and then the war with the press, I'm not really sure how that's going to play out. I think there's some dynamics. I think the media is changing. The relationship with the media and the public is changing. There's more distrust there. I'm not sure of the end game and how wise it is to go out and attack the New York Times and spend energy on a fight there. But it's worked from this far. And I think he's exposing some of the distrust from the general public from both sides.
All right, we'll get more into the media issue a little bit later, but let's stay with Robert Matteo for a second and talk about another facet of the media. Richard Delfino mentioned how some people might get their views reinforced by whichever media they select, MSNBC, Fox News, and so forth. Robert Matteo, how do you think that influenced Johnston voters? Were the main candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, characterized, and how did the way they were portrayed by the media influence voters here in Johnston?
I think that Trump's message of "I'm going to get jobs for the working class" went through, and it kind of seeped through both markets. I know that he survived attacks on both sides, at first from the right, and then from media outlets that would be considered left. I think what distinguished him from Hillary there as well was didn't seem to be a message. I'm not really sure what it was other than I deserve this. Whereas in some of the characterizations against, from her attacking Trump's character, I don't think played well with the working class in the sense that she kept on that and he kept this, I don't know if you want to call it populism, economic populism of, "I'm going to bring back jobs," stayed on that. That message seemed to go through both, you know, through both sides of the media, if you will.
Richard Delfino, you told me how you, you've met Hillary Clinton a few times and that you felt if voters knew the Hillary Clinton you knew, she would have won them over. She spent a lot of time admiring one your grandson, I believe it was, and spent more time than you thought would be typical for a candidate. But I wonder, you had told me that you thought even a lot of Democrats here in Johnston got their information from Fox News. How do you think the media influenced the way voters voted in the presidential election?
I don't think that the true Hillary Clinton that my sense of coming to know was communicated to voters effectively. So you brought up that story. I've had the opportunity to meet her on a couple of occasions, and in each of those occasions, I found her to be very, very sincere, very caring about the things that people in this town care about. And she didn't go through the motions. She talked to people very sincerely, wanted to know what they were feeling, and was just, I saw a side of her that I don't think was portrayed in the media. So if you listen to just some of what the media was reporting about her, you would think that she was this horrible person. And I don't know how fair that was, you know. Now, obviously, when you say my experience was so limited, it was limited to, you know, 15 or 20 minutes here, or maybe three or four occasions. But in each case, I got this sense of sincerity and true caring that I don't think was communicated effectively by the Democratic Party.
Your original question was what role the media played in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that she was demonized, and I don't think that was fair. Trump today is being characterized as being uncivil, just being unprofessional and whatnot, and certainly there are indications that appears to be the case. But I don't know if that's truly what he is or who he is. We'll get a chance to see him over time, and you know, it's the his actions will speak volumes in terms of what he's able to deliver. But I don't know that you can trust that the media is going to portray either of these candidates in their true light. And I think that you can't be quick to judge and to assume that they are because a particular person says this is what they are. And I think that's unfortunate. I do believe that Hillary Clinton was the better candidate. I wished that message more effectively was communicated. There was not, it appears, a good ground game locally.
And you said you couldn't even get Hillary Clinton lawn signs to distribute
here. That's right. It was, and I don't know if that was a result of there being a foregone conclusion that she was going to be the successful candidate here in Rhode Island. But I can tell you that trying to get a lawn sign was very, very difficult and almost impossible. And there were people in town that were calling the Democratic headquarters and say, you know, I support Hillary Clinton. I'd like to get along. And we couldn't provide them. And so that was a problem.
All right. Let me stop you there, Richard. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up, more discussion of Johnston and the 2016 presidential race. I'm Ian Donis. You're listening to a public forum on One Square Mile Johnston and why this blue town turned red on Rhode Island Public Radio. And we're recording in front of a live audience here at Johnston Municipal Court. Stay with us.